Supreme game taking over. That's a promise, not a threat.
Uppercut season, no time. You stop breathing.
Yeah, what's good, yo? Welcome to another episode of Real Talk, where, as always, it shit's real, we talk about it. Yo, I'm your host for tonight, Pat Scorpion, the England representative, and as always, I got my man with me. I'm going to let him introduce himself.
Yo, what it do, man? Jesus Shuttleworth, the guy, go artist, a.k.a. LB, Lauderdale Boss, you know what it is, ringgangradio.com, in the building, it's Monday night boxing talk, let's get it.
Yes, sir. Ring gang in the house forever and always. And as always, I got my other man with me. I'm going to let him introduce himself.
Hey, yo, what's good? You already know who this is. Your boy King Peeble, Digger Peeble, Digger Boxing, the building. Ring gang radio all day. Let's go. Nobody's banned. I made me some money this weekend. So, you know, when I make some money, nobody's banned. I'm not banned. I'm in too good of a mood to hand out banners when I win me some money.
Sure.
Especially boxing money.
You bet 25, hit that on that... And that was it. It was like, what was it? Four, it was no, you won 1,400.
Round 12. That 12th round KO.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. That's a fucking lick, bro. Like, you know, that's good shit, though. You know what I'm saying? That's what it is, man. You know, again, you know, get these gambling wins, man. Also, all this is going to do is just going to fuel our gambling addictions, though. That's what's going to happen. Although, you've had several of these type of wins, anyways, nigga. So, yeah.
Yes, I have.
Word up. Yo, but I got my other man with me. I'm letting him introduce himself.
Hey, what's fly? It's Conscious Pilot, the West Coast Avenger, number one contender, preparing for liftoff, ring in radio. That's where we're flying. Never lying. You know what it is.
Okay. Remix! Yes, you know what I'm saying? Conscious Pilot, you stays elevated above the clouds. You dig? So, yeah, man, you know, we're coming off a very interesting weekend of boxing. You know, Top Rank, again, delivered an unexpected Fight of the Year candidate. In the main event, though. Before we get into that, though, because like I said, you know, I was in the house, you know what I'm saying? I drove up four plus hours to Verona, you know, where Turning Stone Resort Casino is in there. And, you know, I was disappointed because I was going to stop, because I kept telling these motherfuckers I was going to stop and give me some fucking Roy Rogers. But that rest area is getting all fucking renovated and shit. It was closed down. Everything was closed down there. So I had to drive by that area like a sucker, you know what I'm saying? Like looking at that pissed, because I couldn't get no damn Roy Rogers, but that's all right though. That's right, you know. Like I said, though, at least it was during the day, you know. So like, you know, there was light in the sky and everything like that. So yeah, you know, I was in the house for that. Like I said, you know, Turning Stone, I love going there, like, you know, because it's a whole vibe. Everyone, you know, you do all that shit over there, and you know, there's always something going on. It's a mall, it's a casino, it's an event center, all that shit. So yeah, no, this is my first card of the year for the whole featherweight doubleheader. But yeah, no, it was like I said, it's things that I saw. Number one, you know, I got to dap up Flavor Flav. You know what I'm saying? I wish I got on the phone, but I actually left my fucking phone at the media table. So it was just like, you know, and then by the time I went back to go, you know, to maybe try to get a picture, there's a whole line that, you know, everyone that wanted to meet Flavor Flav, you know what I'm saying? Flavor Flav, though, I'll say this, he's a generous celebrity, because most celebs, some, you know, just don't like having that much attention on them like that, or just want to, you know, just be left alone. But Flavor Flav, though, like, motherfucker would just be sitting there chilling, and then people were just coming up to him, you know, shaking the hand, taking pictures, like, doing all, one actually hugged him around the knees or some shit like that. That shit was kind of crazy. So I was just like, you know, that I was like, damn, like he, you know, that, you know, that's a generous celeb too. And of course he was there because he's Nico Ali Walsh's godfather. So yeah, so I got there, his brother was there, his mom's there, Muhammad Ali's daughter was there, and I think his cousins or whatever. They were all up in there to go see it, because Nico was like the second fight on the prelim. I don't know if you guys saw Nico fight, the Nico fight, but yeah, like I said, though, God bless him, you know, like I said, he's trying, he
might have peaked, I mean, you know, he is who he is, you know.
Yeah, but he gets hit way too fucking much.
No, I know, that's what I'm saying, he peaked, I mean, you know, I mean, it's what it is, you know, he's...
Peaked as a prospect? Shit.
He hasn't looked good, I mean, if you watch the fight he lost, like...
You know, I did end up seeing that fight, and I...
you guys were all right. I remember how we talked about it. Like, yeah.
There's no way that little African dude should have been, 154 middleweight. You know, I don't know. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Just beat him up on hustling. Like, damn.
I mean, obviously, Top Rank's not going to get rid of him because, you know, obviously, if, you know, the Ali connection and Bob Owen, Ali, Muhammad Ali, all grow a whole debt of gratitude and shit like that, though. And on top of that, he's just fighting as a middleweight. You know, middleweight is a weak division right now. So, you know, Bob is still scheming to somehow get a WBO middleweight belt around this nigga's waist before, you know, on some shit. You know what I mean? So, I'm pretty sure he's determined and dedicated to that, though. But, I mean, every time I see him, though, he's just getting hit way too much. Like, he has a chin, sure, you know, but it's just like he gets hit way too goddamn much.
Let me ask you a question real quick. How would he fare against Troy Eisley?
Troy Eisley would whoop his ass.
You knock him out pretty early, right? I mean, you know.
I don't know if you knock him out, but he didn't say Troy would whoop his ass, like, you know. And also, shout out to Troy Eisley, because, like I said, you know, we talked about them because Top Rank be hating on that young man. Like, Top Rank, like, they let him know that he was on the clock and he successfully, and then, you know, he's been fighting better. So I guess that's what, you know, it's the thread of that, because it was the same thing for F.A. Ajaba. You know, it was like, oh, wait a minute. You know, Bob was like, oh, wait a minute. You know, this young man needs to be more exciting. And yeah, bam.
I don't know about Eddie Hearn was just like that with Berlanga. Like,
a lot of those PBC,
these niggas ain't playing no more.
Like Duke Reagan, Haven Brady, you know, like, there's a few, like, Shushu was looking down like that. But the thing with Trisley is he has pedigree, like, he used to box with Shakur and them, you know, in the Olympics.
Yeah, and, no, he had pedigree, but he was looking kind of mid for a minute. Like, he was struggling a little bit too much. And, you know, Top Rank doesn't, you know, Top Rank is just ruthless with, you know, prospect that be struggling a little bit too much. And then, like I said, you could tell he was on the clock because Bradley and them were all on some, like, you know, were disparaging dude on camera, like on TV. Like, it was like he's fighting. He's just trying to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's like, well, what about Big Baby? I heard he was getting disparaged as well this weekend.
You know, honestly, it's a shame too, because that dude should be the next American hope, but. Yeah, honestly, if he takes one loss, that's probably gonna be it for him. If he takes one bad beating, that's probably gonna be it for him. Like, dude is mentally not there. You know,
Cam, how was the knockout for Troy Eisley? How was that knockout? Like, was it a crazy reaction?
It was. People were fucking with it. People were cheering because, like, he broke dude down, and then stopped him. Like, you know, let's say though, Troy. I mean, he meant business. Like, he had no, like, he shaved his hand and everything. Like, motherfucker was out here looking like fucking Marvin Hagler and shit.
He reminds me a little bit of, like, a little bit in the same sense of Sean Bradley. I mean, Sean Porter and Tim Bradley. Like, he's strong physically and a good boxer. He doesn't have really power, but he's strong. You know what I mean?
No, he was punching. No, dude was punching. Like, he was fucking Hernandez up.
He's one of the better middleweight prospects we have. I mean, really.
It is, but Top Rank needs to start treating him like one. Like, you know, like I said, instead of trying to do something to get rid of him. But the other prospects, Floyd Cashflow Diaz, like, dude has no type of power. Like, I mean, like I said, because he threw everything at the kitchen sink at that, and he was facing a real true blue journeyman. But that journeyman was hitting him far too frequently to, you know, it was like, wait a minute, what the fuck is this? And that journeyman was hurting him at times, too. At least that's what it looked like to me. You know, like I said, dude is young, so maybe his man strength hasn't kicked in yet. But, he's talented, but, yeah, something has to change. However, I mean, Brian Norman.
Defense. You don't need man strength to kick in for defense, though.
That's also true too, but yeah, he kept because the journeyman got his rhythm down. Like, because every time Cashflow dropped his hands, the journeyman was like hitting him with like right hands, like clean right hands. Like, you could see the, like, cause, you know, because you could tell he was getting hit because Cashflow had them Pauly Malignaggi braids that night. So
Cashflow's like running late to sparring and everything and all the events. Like, he might be pro box down here soon, really.
Yeah, if he's not careful though, but. Brian Norman Jr., that motherfucker should be out. Like, honestly, I don't see it with that dude. That dude, put on another mid-performance. You know, fucking Boca Chica dropped him hard in the first round. Like, Brian Norman was in trouble. And then in the second round, both guys got cut. Like, one was an elbow, the other one was a punch and stuff like that. But Top Rank did something real dirty. Like, they let him go off for the third round, you know, and like I said, Boca Chica was boxing him up. But then after that, like, they kind of stopped the fight. They, you know, they're like, okay, no, this is, the cuts are too much. You know, we are, you know, we're going to go to the, since it didn't go four rounds, and it's going to be a no contest. And the crowd was not fucking with that at all, because they knew Brian Norman was about to go catch an L.
Yeah, Boa Chica is pretty solid. Like, he went the distance with Villa. He got dropped, but on a showbox card, he went the distance with Villa. He lost on Pro Box, but he's a good fighter. Norman, you know, because he's notorious for, you know, giving Bud and Tank, you know, sparring, but ever since he went on Top Rank, he hasn't, his power hasn't translated. His KO percentage is fake.
Well, the funny thing, too, is, like, you would think this motherfucker would be a bad, like, he's, like, 23-0 with 19 knockouts. You would think that he's a bad motherfucker, too, because he, I mean, he was the original BAK Prime fighter, but he's looked mid. Like, ever since he's come to top, he's been looked, like, super mid. Like, none of his, like, I don't, like, I mean, I don't know what they see in him, but I see absolutely nothing. Like, dude is going to get upset one day, sooner than later. You know, like, yeah, but at least with Brian Norman, though, at least he was, at least he acknowledged that he was mid, too. So it wasn't like, he's like, fuck y'all for saying that I suck, you know, that type of shit. Like, he acknowledged that he was mid that night. And I hope they do run back the fight with Boca Chica, because, like I said, he was going to win on those. No, actually, no. Actually, no. There was already going to be scorecard fuckery, from what I understand. Well,
didn't that cut come from a punch? So, like, if the fight went on and the cut got bad, Norman would have won, maybe. You know what they? But
well, the cut that stopped it, because it was Boca Chica's cuts, because he had like three different cuts. That was from like the headbutt. So it was like, if they stopped it, it was going to be a no contest. But either way, Boca Chica was supposed to win that fight instead of getting the no contest. So
it was heating up too. I mean, you know, welterweight's a division moving slow. It looked like a good fight. It was going to be a good fight. It's a shame.
Yeah, no, but yeah, like I said, I just don't see it with that guy at all. And you know, and Rohan Polanco, a good quality prospect. He put some foot to ass that night. So like people, there was a good sizable Dominican contingent in that audience too. I didn't realize how much, but I just like, and not just in the crowd too, but even some of the top ranked staff, like it was like Dominicans like everywhere. that shit was crazy. And then I'm just gonna, let me acknowledge the comments real quick. Let's see, from Adari Pennett. Can you imagine a hybrid cross mix between Terrence Crawford and Jerron Ennis, but as a heavyweight boxer? No.
It's not fight night, bro. I know you won't fight. We need a new fight night, but, you know, yeah,
Yeah, as a heavyweight, like, that type of connection as a heavyweight, like, you need heavyweights. These heavyweights don't have any work rate.
The skill level just ain't there for a lot of these heavyweights, man. Like, the polish
that
guys like Boots and Crawford have, like, nah.
Those type of heavyweights kind of died out probably maybe, like, 15 years ago, at least.
In the NBA.
Like, maybe 2007, 2006.
Right.
All our heavyweights are in the NFL and NBA.
Yeah, that's...
Nah, because when them niggas come here, they be trash too. So,
but I'm saying, like, you know, like
boxing, like these niggas. Nah, I mean, I'm not gonna give the fucking football basketball excuse. It's just,
it's the money, man. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it's boxing. Not the money, bro. Because boxers make money, and heavyweights, they look out for you more than any other division in heavyweight.
Yeah, the foundation is just not good.
A lot of these guys ain't really like. Like, I don't know, maybe heavyweight trainers are different right now, but these, like, you're not seeing skilled heavyweights like you see all these other weight classes.
Well, I mean, I think you can even say a middleweight, like a wide receiver stature. There's probably some NFL wide receivers, if they grew up boxing, you know, I'm just saying, niggas that were just, you know, athletic and a beast, they would be a good boxer. But the money, the contracts are crazy. And, you know, your rookie contract can make more money than you would, you know, in boxing. So I'm just saying, like, I feel like that plays a role now these
days. Boxing harder to get into. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's
initial. It's also hard.
You got to have a plan. You got to have a discipline to get into boxing. These niggas, if you a jock at school doing football, like, we all know, like, these niggas was getting handed opportunities, like, schoolwork, all that shit. Like, You ain't really got to do extra shit. Just go to practice. Everybody's doing the logistical shit for you. Boxing, you're going to be more hands-on with your career than you are going to be in any other sport.
Right, and you have to be hands-on, because if you're not hands-on...
Yeah, yes. Then you're going to fucking die.
Yeah. You're up from 175 to heavyweight. They're kind of, you know, all the top fighters are, you know, from Eastern Europe and shit like that. You know what I'm saying? This is,
but you see how the skills, like, everybody's skilled until you get to, like, cruiserweight. Mm-hmm. It kind of starts tapering off, but then you're, like, heavyweight, and it's like you get, you know, these big motherfuckers. You get the Wilders. You get these other niggas who, you know...
And it's not even like the A-level fighters. I was watching Lyman Brewster versus Clifford ATN, and those motherfuckers were throwing combinations, like the high work rate combinations, shit like that. Like you, shit,
good form, technique, all of that. Like you don't see that now. Like you don't see like the craft in these guys. You'll see a few. Mm-hmm. They're out there, but it's really thin now. Like you'll have like a handful. In every type of, like, from the top 30, you'll have maybe, like, two. The top 20, you'll have about three or four. Top 15 is, like, one or two. Top 10, like, you know what I mean?
Well, so, yeah. The black Americans, like, you know, the early 2000s, you know, you had Shannon Briggs and, you know, Chris Bird, you know, guys like that. You know what I'm saying? Black American niggas that, you know.
Yeah, but he like, 90s era, though.
Late 90s, yeah, I'm just saying, like, you know, the 90s, 2000s, I'm just saying.
Kind of mid-90s,
nigga. No, they were early 90s book.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, it's been in
the 90s and 2000s. I mean, they fought through the early 2000s, too. I'm just saying, that's when those contracts got crazy, man. Like, the NFL had to restructure the rookie contract because they were overpaying niggas that were getting injured and not playing. Sam Bradford shuts out.
It's easy when you got a football team. Oh, hold on. I know more comments coming. My bad. I know we digressed a little bit. What did do, Android? Pat, good post-fight interview there. Yeah, salute. Troy Isley is improving fast. Yeah, you got to when people trying to put you on the chopping block.
Right.
And yo, thank you, Android. Shit, everyone just pot shots these days. But everyone's not fucking Roy Jones. And the thing is, Roy Jones was pot shotting like at like 20-second clips. These dudes are pot shot. Walk around the ring a little bit, move, pose. 45 seconds later, pot shot. Okay. Like it's there's no intensity with the pot shots and whatever style these motherfuckers want to box with. Yo, Pat, who was messing with the lights?
Yeah, first things too is I thought maybe the first
shout out
time
Marquise, my bad. I just read it.
Marquise, I joked around with Pat. I'm like, yo, is the Undertaker about to make an appearance at the Turning Stone? Like, what's going on with these lights?
The first time I thought it was just like the light guys just, you know, fucking around with it or trying to do something. But the second one, like the shit like legit went out. Like, I don't know what happened, but it was just like, yeah, it was like, yo, like, it was like, what the fuck is this? Yeah, but once it came back on, obviously, you know, it stayed on. But I was just like, yeah, that shit was kind of iffy because I thought it was just they were just doing some like in arena adjustments or whatever. But something was fucking up. Somebody was fucking up. You know, Android Big Ribby does have good combos though. Yeah, but he does. But you know, he doesn't have a fighter's heart or mentality.
Yeah, it's like these niggas, they'll check off so many boxes, but then the real important ones you'd be really hoping for is the one where it's be like, shit, bro. Like, I don't care if he was the heavyweight Rocky Juarez. Like, stop fucking up. Exactly. Have the heart.
Yeah, get some heart, yo. Just take this shit seriously. The money will come, you know, if you want it. You know what I mean?
I feel like that Charles Martin fight spooked him. Like, all this shit started happening after that fight. Mm-hmm. Like, all the wilding out and now the police chase bullshit. And it's like, bro, you're undefeated. Like, you still have a career. What the fuck are you doing?
Roy Jones interview, you know. Him saying he doesn't want to be a world champ. Like, it's kind of, you know, I mean, I'm sure he wants
to do it. I've already dismissed him because, like I said, he doesn't talk like a fighter. And I have little patience for fighters that don't talk like fighters, like I, you know, he's in the wind, like until, you know, until you realize you're trying to beat somebody in this game.
I guess I'm the Torres, but no, I mean Anderson. So he'll be a champ, but you know.
He was doing the police chase for you too.
I'm sure get a big, WBO or something, you know, down the line.
I mean, at this point, he may as well like just use that engagement. But damn, like, I don't even know the particulars of that. I just heard it because I didn't even get to see the card live. Like, I just saw the main event the next day.
Yeah, I mean, all I know is, yeah. They were fucking. I mean, the Bradley and them were talking about it on the air, and he didn't like it and shit like that. But nigga, no one told you to fucking lead the cops on a chase. Like, you know, slow your ass down. Like, what the fuck?
I mean, I get it. It's like they both have points because they're reporting the news, really. But there's a way you go about it if you're still trying to have a decent product. And you know, if you're gonna get on the guy to that extent, like, then I don't think you should even bring it up. If you're gonna have a whole like circle jerk session about disrespecting dude and going so far with it, and it just kind of tastes, especially when I can see if he belonged to another platform, I can kind of see it a little more, but your own person that you've had headline and you know, you made cards around, like, it's kind of too much. Regardless, like, let the niggas like us, the podcast niggas, have that.
They shouldn't have brought it up at all. It was dumb of them to even bring it up.
Yeah, like, I can understand it. They had the little sports ticker at the bottom of the screen, and it gets, you know.
No, I mean, they have to report it, I feel like. You know what I'm saying? I understand why he's mad, but I'm saying, like, you have to report that.
But it was the way they reported it. I was just like,
Yeah,
I thought he was going to keep saying something. Bad, like,
you know, Kriegel likes his fucking pity fucking soliloquies and shit. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and drama.
He loves talking about that Teofimo Lopez and, you know, all these struggles and everything. Every single time.
You know what? Honestly, he's the fucking representation of a lot of the YouTubers with boxing. Like, they don't really care about anything else, the sport itself or the skills, the technique, the history. They just care about that story, the drama.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like, they said, which is crazy, LOL. Guy had a camera mounted on the trunk. What the fuck? How you know all this? Like, you was in the car, Android? You should have told them to chill.
Yeah.
Damn, crashing off a fucking YouTube? Really?
Yeah, all I want Jerry Anderson to do is just to announce a fucking fight. And stay the fuck out of trouble, like, seriously, like.
Cause honestly, you don't have to do, like, I don't know, it's like people doing all these extremes to get clout when you already have a type of vehicle, no pun intended, like, the vehicle is boxing. And all you gotta do is just find ways to just be more creative with your brand, with what you do. And y'all think, like y'all had to be smoking. Like, who passed the blunt to the nigga that said, yo, do a car chase? Like, because I don't know how, like, out of all the things you could do, like, that's like you telling a chef, like, oh, you want to blow up? Hey, nigga, skydive with chili in the air. Like, what? Like, I really got to do that? Like, like, geez. But yeah, I hope it just... It's just, if you're going to go in that far, just don't report it at all to me. Like, especially he's, it's like from the clip I seen, it seemed like they treated dude like he was Tank.
Yeah.
And I could expect that if they did that with him. And even it'd still be wrong, but.
Well, you know, it's called the state of boxing. So I can see that, you know, like, yeah, but the way they talk about it, Tim Bradley.
But then state the boxing, like, leave all the extras for the podcast niggas. All the person, like, y'all don't have the personality to be speaking on certain shit and doing it in an objective, non-biased manner. Like, y'all, like, I don't even want to be fucking with them niggas if I'm Jared right now.
Right.
Like, y'all only put niggas on the platform to shit on them. Yeah. Y'all ain't gonna do no Lomachenko like that. Like, y'all didn't promote the Lomachenko Haney fight like that when Lomachenko had like half of Ukraine not fucking with him. I was reading the reports and articles and shit.
I mean, Anderson is, you know, in a sense, he's right when he said, I can leave, because, you know, he has Jay Prince as a heavyweight. I'm sure, you know, Eddie Hearn or PBC would sign him, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, He'd be a hot free agent, especially if he didn't have a lot, you know, especially if he's still undefeated, you know, so it's like.
And they probably could get him better fights.
Yeah, because you know Bob Arum, I mean, the glass ceiling business model, you know what I mean?
He had the glass ceiling up. Charles Martin was the glass ceiling. Like, who else are going to give this nigga?
A rock twice. That's crazy.
And Charles Martin had to actually come over to Top Rank to fight.
You see what I'm saying? So it's like, y'all may as well just go to the place that has these guys already. Exactly. Guy has a golden opportunity as the next big heavyweight. Yeah, like, and he's fucking it up. You don't want him to do the extra shit. Like, you're trying to swim with sharks and you're a heavyweight. You're trying to do all this extra shit. Like, car police chase. You think you tango in cash or lethal weapon or some shit. Like, nigga, throw a fucking jab in the gym, motherfucker. Damn.
Back, so. But, yo, just to get back on topic, you know, the first of the featherweight main events with Luis Alberto Lopez and Reyes Abi, yo, I swear, Lopez hits hard as fuck in person. Like, I didn't realize how hard he fucking punches. You know, like, honestly, because, you know, I'm asking the Japanese guy, I mean, obviously, they're, you know, they kept on bigging up that, you know, he moves a lot, he's defensive and everything like that. But Lopez closed his eyes, he closed his eye within two fucking rounds. Like, because Abi's corner was, I was right behind Abi's corner, though, and his eye was already, like, I don't know how Lopez gets away with fighting the way he fights. Like, dude puts like 200% every punch he throws. He lunges.
He has a weird, awkward style. I don't like it's like, yeah. It's hard to explain, but it works for him. You know what I'm saying?
It works for him, yeah, because he's super unorthodox.
Yeah, yeah, he's unorthodox.
Like, he throws these weird punches. He throws like the weird uppercuts. He's like, if I think it's, he fights like Navarrete in a way, but like a smaller version of him.
He got like a little bit of
a Mexican Hamed. Like,
I mean, he's imagining like Augustus, you know, awkward like Mayorga. I don't know, just a couple names. It's hard to compare his style, but he has an awkward style.
Yeah, but it works because dude, like when dude lands punches, he's fucking these guys up. Like, yeah. And like, and the funny thing is, I'll be like, and the doctor, like, it was like because it was so bad, the doctor kept on like, going to Abby's corner like almost every fucking round and having to take like extra measures just to check to see if dude's eye was. You can see out of the eye and everything like that. It's kind of getting annoying. The crowd wasn't fucking with that at all. Like you know, it's like, hey, like you. And but the thing is, like, Abi kept on taking more and more of a punishment. So it's like you got to keep checking his eye, but you know, you're not even taking a look to see these guys taking a lot of punishment. So finally, I think the ref had to like come in like after he kind of absorbed like a couple uppercuts or whatever. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, though, like Lopez. Is on a hot streak right now. Like Lopez is probably maybe a good victory or unification away from probably getting into a pound for pound list. He's close because with Warrington, like he's fucking these guys up like big time.
Real quick, how would Shushu fare against him? Right, I mean, I think Shushu might need another step up, but how would Shushu or like Robesi Ramirez go against Renato? I mean, who would you favor?
Honestly, Robesi Ramirez would probably – I could see him losing because Lopez is – you have to fight him a certain way, like, in order – like, and Ramirez, you know, kind of – like, he kind of likes to – he'll throw, but he kind of likes to – he kind of is not as defensively responsible as he should be.
How would Shushu
– he's not the best at closing out fights either.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he's not.
And if you're a guy who could close out fights good, like, yeah, you probably better off for Lopez because Lopez kind of – starts off at, although I didn't get to see this last recent fight, just speaking off in general with dude.
Yeah,
he kind of starts at a good clip.
Yeah, I mean, Warrington was able to, like, kind of close, because he can close out strong. So, like, that's why we were saying, like, oh, Warrington might have actually won that fight, but they just gave it to him.
I thought we got the hometown, you know, because it was close. It was actually pretty close in the fight.
It was close, yeah.
But that's the closest fight we've seen Lopez in, like, since.
In a while, yeah.
Yeah, like, nobody could, like, hang at Conlon. Oh, my goodness. Like, no one could hang with dude.
Would Carrington hang with him?
Yeah, hell yeah. The fuck?
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, he hasn't had to step up yet, so I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, I don't know if I would do
that as a step up. Like,
he needs one more. He needs like a Joette.
He's kind of going like three steps.
Feed him Joette, you know what I'm saying? Joette,
okay, I give you that. Like, that's a fight. That's a better fight. I think he'll beat the shit out of Joette.
I mean, I will say this though, Lopez. Though, I mean, honestly, if he keeps his belt long enough, he just might. He could probably be Monster's first opponent when he actually does go to featherweight. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I know because that was
trying to make Monster turn into the all-time great, top 10.
I mean, because they were definitely talking about mentioning that fight, like, yeah, fighting Monster. Listen, so yeah, but Lopez, though, like I said, I mean. It was one-sided, you know. I mean, it wasn't like Abby tried to like hit him with counters, but if Lopez, if he doesn't respect your power, you're not, you know, he's gonna keep coming at you and he's gonna keep throwing, you know, because you know Abby didn't have enough power to keep him off him and to protect his eye. So yeah, it was just like it was one-sided as one-sided can be, though. But it was an entertaining one-sided fight. So you know, it was like I say, you know, it was ass whooping. But that main event was everything, you know. Like Top Rank again delivered another Fight of the Year candidate, you know, with Otabek Kolmatov and Raymond Ford, man. Like
that's they better with no PBC around right now. Oh, shit, this their chance to get the head started for the year.
You know, facts too. I mean, they're already up at least four fights. Like they have at least four. So
think about this. At the end of it, well, next January 1st or 2nd, wherever the fuck when we do the end of the year awards, If Top Rank isn't the best platform for boxing or has the best fights, it's going to be it says something then. Because y'all had like a real like first two and a half month start.
Right.
That's all I got to say on that, though.
Kolmatov Ford is easily the leading Fight of the Year candidate far right now.
That was a crazy fight, though.
Kolmatov, though, like, I'll say this, too, because later on, off camera, like, Ray was talking about I should have fought him differently. Like, you know, because, you know, if you've seen Ray fight on the Matchroom cards, you know, he's a boxer puncher. He doesn't go out and just slug it out. He won't do that. But he did that because Kolmatov was putting so much pressure on him, you know. Although he kept on saying Kolmatov, he wasn't feeling Kolmatov's power like that. But yeah, no
man, it's like why niggas just can't be honest. Like I've seen dude punches rattle him in that fight like two or three times. Like bro, you can't be all balanced every time. Like one of them, he did the whole James Toney routine into the ropes.
Yeah.
The other one, he did the chop chop buckle up like, like dude, like yeah you took his punches better, but like don't act like this nigga was like Corey Spinks in there with your ass.
Who do you have up in the 12?
Kolmatov was winning to me.
Yeah, like I thought
Kolmatov up by a round, yeah. But well, I had him up by a round, but I thought if Ford would have won, like if Ford was winning the final round, so if it went to the scores, I would have had it a draw.
But the fight, I can see that too.
You can hear because I mean I was behind Ford's corner, you know, and because they were telling him to watch the left hand because Kolmatov kept on spamming that left hand, but the left hand kept on landing. It landed clean over and over. Well,
if you landed like that, nigga, I'm going to spam it too.
It was left, straight left, or overhand left. Like, or if you're inside, you throw an uppercut every now and then. But Kolmatov's offense was kind of, it was predictable, but I think they were too far gone in because they were going to war for him to make any real adjustments because Ford wasn't going to try to. He could have probably boxed, but I think it was just, like I said, pressure and the power was getting to him.
I think Ford fought the right fight. Like, I don't know if he would have beat this dude if he would have just tried to box more.
I was shocked he stepped to him in the fourth. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's usually an outboxer. He doesn't like pressure. But the fourth round, it's like he downloaded something. And I feel like 4-8, he won those rounds. Like, literally 4-8, he won those rounds. And the 9th and 10th, he looked kind of bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, maybe he took it off. I don't know if, you know, because Kolmatov, he's a future champ. Like Kolmatov is in, you know, a Beck the Bully. I thought he's, you know, either Beck the Bully or Triple G to me, nigga. If you're from that,
He's not Beck the Bully in a way because Beck the Bully is a little slower. You know,
I'm just saying, you know, the Kazakhstan fighters, like they're usually killers, are overrated. I think he proved his worth in the loss. You know, I think he could be a champ still.
Yeah,
dude reminds me of like a more athletic, harder punching Victor Postol. who decided to like watch a bunch of Roy Jones and Golovkin tapes or some shit. Like, like he's speedy, he could box, he moves, but like Ford kind of, I can see the whole punching him out strategy. Like the dude kind of got tired, and the mental pressure from the pressure Ford had on him, it worked. I just don't think Ford boxes clean enough for as a guy who like defense is that great where he could box a guy like Khabib. So I felt like he had the right strategy. Like
I thought the left for the first couple rounds, I thought the left was going to be the end for Ray Ford early. I was like, oh shit! But I guess you know he said in the, like when Pat interviewed him that the power was you know he takes that power.
Well, he was saying like he was saying that the power wasn't affecting him, but mm-hmm. I mean. You know, we all have eyes. Like, you know, Khabib was hitting him pretty damn hard.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, because I seen the tweets, because dude was on some, I just watched the fight. He's like, I don't know how they had me losing. I'm like, bro, like, then it hit me. I'm like, you know what it is? Like, from hearing how he speaks on certain shit, I could understand why he was the underdog and how a lot of people were, like, picking against him, even though there was rooting, like there, a lot of people's hearts were picking for him, mm-hmm. but their boxing brain wasn't, if we being honest.
Right, yeah.
But I could understand why, because he's one of those, well, allegedly, he comes off as one of those guys who he's not honest with himself. and those people like that take the longest to improve or make adjustments. Mm. So I could kind of see why. And still, congratulations. I'm not shitting on dude or nothing. I could just kind of, it's like the tweets and the talks kind of make me understand, like,
he plays the heel. He doesn't give a fuck, kind of.
Yeah, not even give a fuck, but just the whole, like, how we were saying how he has his moments where he would struggle or look shaky and still be turning around, still be on point. Like we were saying, Amo Williams was better than dude and all that.
I mean, to add to that real quick, you know, remember he got that gift and he got a draw, and people still hold that against him. But I feel like right after that draw, he was in the lab with Shakur, and he's gotten better every fight. So I was happy for him. I mean, because
he was match tough too. And like, during this fight too, like, and I think I mentioned this.
And he's 24, and he's 24. I thought it was like 26. He's 24. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like I mean, also too, just because I mean, dude, like they were hitting each other so hard, like. I was getting hit with the fucking sweat from where I was. The shit was kind of disgusting. Like it was repeatedly, like every single time that they were warring in Ford's corner and they were throwing shots, like I literally felt fucking like sweat come on me and like pause and just like I was just like, yo, this is nasty, like yo, like ew. Seriously, they were hard. You know, but if you told me that, I mean, I honestly didn't think Ford would have the power to stop Khabib, like, you know, but when he had dude in trouble and the referee blew the knockdown call, which that was actually a blessing in disguise too, because if the ref called the knockdown,
yeah, because he wouldn't, yeah, it would have the round would have been over if he would have called it correctly.
Yeah, exactly. Because Khabib would have killed the clock and, you know, had enough time to clear his head and avoid the follow up shots, but. All the ref did was like, oh, well, get your ass up. You know, it wasn't a knockdown. And then Ford was able to close the show with 8 or 7 seconds left in the fight, you know, because he hit him with the shot that had him, like, going face first into the corner, into the turnbuckle, and then Ford lands another hook. And the referee's like, okay, no, that shit is, this is over. Where I know, P, what was your reaction when the referee waved it off with 7, 8 seconds left in the fight?
Let's go! Let's fucking go! That's basically what I did. And I was laughing because it was like, there were idiots that were like, oh, that was a bad stoppage. Bro, when you're turning your back and like running away, like, how is that a fucking bad stoppage? Once you turn your back, you're at the mercy of the ref. Like,
it's all the fans,
come
on. It's all the fans that hated Ford that were rooting for Khabib, it seems like.
That wasn't no bad stoppage.
You cannot. Turn your back to the fighter and get upset when the fucking ref stops it. Like, bro, see, why are you turning your back?
Nobody turns their back and take a knee. Like, if you're going to turn your back, take the fucking knee. Like, immediately, turn your back, take the knee. Then we could be, because then we could kind of like, oh, shit, hold on, wait, hold on. All right, took a knee. But y'all niggas just turn y'all back like it's a street fight and, you know, your cousin going to step in and the auntie coming off the steps and she's like, no, chill.
They turn their back to run away. Like, what? Like, that's what they're doing. Yeah.
And I saw him in the ring, and I saw him later. Like, Kovalchuk was out of it. Like, it wasn't like he was completely out of that. Like, you know, Ford had stunned him, and he couldn't recover. You know, like, so, but, yeah, just to see, you know, the emotion. And Eddie Hearn, because Eddie Hearn was sitting a couple, like, maybe about four chairs away from me. Dude, like, damn near threw his chair, jumped off his chair, threw his chair, and got into the ring, like ran into the ring and shit. Like, he was wilding out. Like, and so was everyone else, too, because everyone in the media row was standing and clapping and shit.
Like, you know, that's movie shit. Like,
yeah.
Like, you stopping a guy at the very last seconds, and, like, because this is the thing, like, people, when people say, hey, like, you know when Freddie Rose would be like, hey, man, put him on his ass, like, That's the effort people want to see in the 12th round. Remember, 12 rounds used to be special.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be where the 12th round was literally the best round of the fight.
I mean, right.
Somehow we got away from that. So good shit for Ford, like, really making the 12th round 12th round like it's supposed to. Because we would have had a bullshit whatever at the end.
That was like Foster Hernandez. I mean, that was, you know, pretty much, you know, in a sense, the same ending, kind of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, it definitely was like a
Major Beer knockouts and shit. I mean, yeah. It's a feel good moment. Like, if you love boxing and not boxers, it's a feel good moment in boxing.
You cannot hate on that.
Falling on the ground and shit. Come on, that's a moment.
Yeah, I mean, dude was emotional. And, you know, Ray Ford is the first fighter that Eddie Hearn has built up, you know, from I think he signed in 2019. And took him all the way to a world title. An American fight.
Oh, no, in America. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, an American fight to a world title from the ground up. So that was like, that was a special thing for him. Like, you know, and Eddie too, because he was supposed to go to Riyadh for the whole Joshua thing too. But he's like, yeah, I had to make a detour. Like him and Anthony, his media person, all made detour just to be there. And funny thing is too, because Anthony and I think someone else from Top Rank, they were talking shit. Like,
you're talking shit about, like, the person, been, right? Yeah. Eddie scouted him since the amateurs. Like, you know, that's his first fighter to win, you know, from debuting, you know, on match from. So that's, you know.
And it's more important for Eddie to be here for this dude. Like, Joshua is Joshua. Like, you're fighting a guy that we're expecting you to beat. Like, And her done been there for Joshua all through all the ups and downs, like,
yeah, he stuck with him. But if you lose to Francis, shit.
then we'll be like, Eddie Hearn made the right decision. He went to the right
fight. He'll be there for the fight. You know, Eddie probably got like a
he gonna be there, but I know how people, you know, it's the fight week. Everybody wants the important people to make they pop ups and guest appearances, so I get it, but nah, like, Eddie, I'm glad he was there. Like, you know, you gotta hold down your people. So
yeah, you know, he definitely held, you know, dude down. And like I said, though, we're having to see, like, Ray hold that belt up, like that was something special, because, you know, and a lot of fighters were definitely giving him props and saying that win, like, you know, like, showed them the way. Like, I know Khalil Cole and, you know, was doing, you know,
vindicating,
giving them like props or like that, like, you know, it's like.
Like, to vindicate him, because, you know, I've heard so many, he's a fraud. People still say he's a fraud. I mean, how are you still calling him a fraud after that performance? I've seen it.
The people miserable, bro. Fuck them.
Yeah.
We just be hating.
Yeah, and even after when I met him backstage and I interviewed him and shit like that, like, dude was just like, just still down to earth as anything. Like, he wasn't playing the role, whatever. Like, I mean, honestly, nigga, if I became a champion, I wouldn't even be as calm as he was. Like, dude was just like, yo, like, I think more anything, he wanted to get stitched up. So I think that's part of the reason why he wasn't just wilding out, you know, because, dude, look, I mean, if you haven't watched my interview with him, go see it. Like, you can see, like, his face is a mask of pain. Like, it was lump. He had lumps everywhere. Like, Kovalchuk, too, but Kovalchuk went to the hospital, like, ASAP. Like, he went into that ambulance ASAP, so.
They said he tore his ACL. Like, I feel like the same thing like with Gamboa's Achilles. He probably had an ankle, you know, a knee, you know, he hurt his knee, you know what I'm saying?
Or
had
that's the thing, though. If you tear your ACL, there's no way in the, because Komatov, the way that he was moving, there's no way in hell you can move like that.
No way in hell. No way in hell. It's just like Gamboa going 10 rounds with a torn Achilles.
Yeah, the Gamboa Achilles thing. Yeah.
I mean, he probably had a little leg injury, but I mean, he was good, you know.
Yeah.
He
was
good. Yeah, but you move a certain way when your ACL is gone. Like, Gamboa, you tell, like, his movement was compromised. Like,
really could tell with Gamboa that something was wrong.
You're not going to be able to stay. Come on, man. I mean, maybe it's adrenaline, but come on. If you really snap your Achilles like Kevin Durant did in the finals, there ain't no way you're going to be able to box 10 rounds with one of the best boxers.
Hell no, you can't. Yeah, there's no way you can box with. I mean, you have to, because like I said, even if you can take the pain, your leg's not going to be able to take all that extra movement and shifting and shit like that. That doesn't work. That's not how.
And doing shit in pain burns you out faster. The people forget about that, so.
I had a feeling he would gas, and I've seen Ray Ford look, you know, sharp to 12s, you know, so I was like, I never saw Komatov before, but I was still impressed. I think he could be a champion.
Yeah, like, I mean, I know after the Eddie Vasquez fight, I kind of like, okay, maybe Ray's not as good as he's advertised, though, but he proved it. Like, he proved it, and him and Komatov gave us a new fight of the year candidate, and I'm just happy I was just there. Even, you know, I was there for the whole thing, man.
It's fantastic.
I will say this. I think that, and one of my boys, shout out to J-Ro, pointed this out, that, like, when you look at, like, Ford's competition, Ford was matched tough early. Like, even I was kind of, I'm like, damn, he's not looking that good. But when you consider how early he is in his career and how tough he was matched considered, you know, compared to other fighters, you know, they were getting cans at his stage in his career. I'm like, you know what? He's actually done pretty well for himself, all things considered. So, shout out to Ford.
You know, like, you know, Mark Castro, you know, still finding cans and shit. You know, not matching up with none of that shit.
Forgotten about since Andy Cruz is at the same division.
That's the thing. When you match tough, like, it shows up in the long run. More so than the other shit.
People talk about his gift and draw, but niggas, fighters lose all the time early on, you know? I mean, it's not, you know, I'm saying, yeah, he might have lost that one fight.
He was competitive at least.
You're competitive.
The thing is, I've realized this, like, when you're coming up, everybody expects, fuck, if you're that good, everybody's expecting squash matches. Oh, you're just going to squash everybody like fucking WWF superstars. Like, yeah. And if you don't squash them all, oh, he's not that good. He's not that good. No, motherfucker, it depends. And if he's match tough, he's not going to squash these folks.
Like, but see, that's the thing. A lot of people don't assume that guys are match tough because they're so used to the jobber festivals. Like, that's why promotions have to do a better job of promoting the opponent, too. So people could know that these prospects are messed up so niggas don't jump out the window because they're winning, you know, 6 rounds of 4, 5 fights in a row.
I feel like Eddie has the best, you could say, blend of how he moves his, you know, matchmaking because, you know, he has a lot to pick from with the UK and American, you know what I'm saying, just like Mexico too. I'm just saying, like, top rank.
Yeah, he'd be fucking up the superstars.
I mean, like, you know, he moves, you know, he matched me, like, the card I went to, you know, on behalf of, you know, top rank. That was a pretty good card. You know, guys were undefeated, but, you know, the guys were getting knockouts until Ben. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he makes good fights for he moves his guys right usually. You know what I'm saying?
And now he's trying to get Ford to stay one more fight at 126.
Don't do it.
Yeah, I mean, Ford said if it was like a quick turnaround, he'd consider it because he's trying to get him to unify with Nick Ball, who's fighting this Friday, and if Nick Ball, it seems like the fix is in. As long as Nick Ball stays upright in the 12th round, he's getting that belt.
I hope they rub Vargas. I ain't gonna lie, but I think it'll be body shot central. But I'm just saying, like, Vargas is so boring. Unless Vargas,
I don't give a fuck if Vargas gets robbed because he's robbed me of some fucking sleep in the past. He's robbed me. He's put me to sleep in past fights. No, I don't give a fuck if he's robbed. This is payback.
That fight's intriguing. 126 is deep, man.
But yeah, I mean, even I told him, it was like, yo, like, you know, like, yeah, you should stay in the mix though. But I get though, because he had a tough weight cut. He said for this fight too. So he was like, because I was like, damn, to win it and just to vacate it. But yeah, I think even Eddie wants him to at least get one defense in or something like that before going up to 130.
He even
said, because you're not really a champ, Amp, until you defend the belt.
Didn't he even say he had a bad weight cut? Oh, damn, all these fighters having bad weight cuts.
Because these niggas ain't at the division they supposed to be. Most of these niggas literally could be fighting in the above division they're in, literally. But they want that advantage.
I favor him over Roach, Hector Luis Garcia, probably Cordina. You know what I'm saying? I favor Ford against those guys, to be honest.
Yes, I would too.
126-130, you know, those divisions that are deep that don't have a true number one. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they got eight legit guys, but no true, you know.
So. Yeah. That's why when he was talking all that vacating shit, I was like, ugh, you know, you should stay, though. But I get it, though, because you don't want a situation where either you try to do that shit and, you know, you lose your belt on the scale, or, you know, you have another weight cut, but the weight cut's the reason why you take an L.
When you get
so I get it, but, you know.
Hold on. Salute, Chief Wildfire. People die in their good stoppage.
Yeah, it was. I think Ford, you know, I know Oshaki Foster shuts out to him and his manager saying that would be easy work. I don't think it's easy work. I mean, maybe give Ford.
Man, Foster can't be calling nobody easy.
I'm saying give Ford a fighter or two, you know, one, you know, maybe he'll jump right. I don't know if he's, you know, and jump straight to a contender or champion, but probably at this rate.
Mm-hmm. Like, Foster's like the reincarnation of like Eric Morales with his fights. You know? Like,
Pat, I'm having to stay away from Sugar Nunes for now, though.
Yeah, you gotta stay away from that guy. Either way, like overall, I enjoyed my trip to Turning Stone. Like, it was good. Just to, you know, again, you know, thank you to, you know, to Anthony Lever and for Evan Korn, you know, for hooking up the interview and stuff like that. And, you know, like I said, it was definitely a good time. And yeah, I was there in that fucking casino till like late. So yeah, no, like again, of course, like I said, I do all them Turning Stone trips. So as long as the card is good, I'll go. God damn it. But yeah, no, it was good to catch a Fight of the Year candidate up live. You know, outside of getting like the sweat being like you know getting on me, but you know, it is what it is. Sometimes it's the fight game. You know, but yeah, no, it was good shit though. I enjoyed myself very much.